There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Big thanks again to all the team from the Slugs and Goats FC who joined us just before the top of the hour there. Big thanks to their congratulations for their cup victory a little earlier on at the end of last week. They, as they were saying, are looking forward to coming down here to rub shoulders with the likes of Stephen Jarrod, Steve McManaman and Gary McAllister tomorrow. We've also given you an exclusive chance to win a brand new Liverpool home shirt for the 2018-2019 season. Signed by the entire first team squad, it's accompanied by a certificate of authenticity. All you need to do is head on down to Barasti on Sunday to join the legends that I've mentioned there to watch Liverpool's final game of the season against Brighton. On ground, there'll be an opportunity for two lucky fans to win a trip to Anfield. Come down, take pics and tag hashtag LFCWorld on Instagram. To get your hands on that jersey, which will be drawn on Monday Night Football by Chris and Robbie, if they make it back from Old Trafford, the day before that is this question. You need the answer and your name to 4001, please. The question we're asking today is, what is the official anthem of Liverpool Football Club? The song that is sung before each and every game at Anfield. If you know the answer, text it to 4001. You could be winning that signed squad shirt for the 2018-19 season. The brand new Liverpool home shirt, that is. So if you know the answer, what's the name of the anthem, the official anthem of Liverpool Football Club, that is sung by the fans before and after every single game, then please do send that answer along with your name to 4001. Let's get to the world of sport. Let's find out what's happening in the Grand Prix, because they're off and running over in Spain. This is final qualifying, is it?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is it's Kimi Räikkönen in his Ferrari. He's changed over to the super soft tyres. He currently leads the final qualifying. He's followed there by the Brit Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes, and then Lewis Hamilton followed by his teammate Valtteri Bottas in third position, and then, of course, Sebastian Vettel in the Ferrari in fourth.
So we'll keep an eye on what's happening in Spain in terms of what's happening in the world of Formula One and what the Spanish Grand Prix means to these standings. Let's just remind ourselves.
It's the start of the European stretch of the season. Four races down, and Martin, what a fantastic start to the new season.
Absolutely. Really exciting, unpredictable. Obviously Melbourne, the first race in Australia, was a little bit easygoing and not that exciting, but it's all let loose since then. And I have to say, you know, we've seen contact, we've seen surprise results, races that could have been won by anyone, half a dozen drivers up front, and drivers who are sitting here thinking, I could be leading the championship. Räikkönen got unlucky with a safety car in Australia, and then the team have used him as a little bit of a blocker for Vettel on occasions. Verstappen, I think, could have won the last three races, for example. He's made a mistake in every Grand Prix in terms of making contact with somebody. He could be leading the world championship. Lewis has been a bit off form, but still came through to win in Baku. And so it goes on. He is leading the world championship, of course. And Ferrari on great form. Red Bull looking like they can always steal a result here and there as well. You don't know where to look next.
On the subject of Red Bull, hauled in front of the head teacher. Obviously, they had to apologise to the Red Bull family, the two drivers, after they're coming together. Max, I mean, I think Christian was saying he needs to have a look at himself. This is the most testing point of his Formula One career to date, do you think?
Absolutely. As I pointed out, he could so easily have scored, I think, 75 points in the last three races, and he's got 10. So it's all very well being super confident and I'm not going to change anything. He's throwing away race results and lots of points for the team. You can't keep running into people or letting yourself be run into. We know he's got all the skills and ability to become a world champion in Formula One, but not if he's going to carry on like this. He has to make changes. And for me, the Baku incident was at least 70% his fault.
Okay. Do you maintain, though, that Red Bull are in with a championship shout here? Alongside,
well, they've thrown a lot of points away, haven't they? With contact and unreliability, but there's a long way to go yet. I think they're certainly in with a shout of winning a number of Grand Prix this year.
So, got qualifying underway in the Spanish Grand Prix. We'll keep an eye on that one. Ferrari showing the pace early doors, though. Let's get to the world of golf, and we've had some records broken in the last few days. Ross Chris.
It's the Players' Championship. This is at TPC Sawgrass. This is probably the biggest golf event in the world that is not a major.
Well, they call it the fifth major.
They do call it the fifth major. So it has been an outstanding 2 days of golf, and the real story is our leader, guys, Webb Simpson. This guy came in, he's been playing some decent golf as of late, but the real talk of the town is his 63 round two. Unbelievable. Through 16 holes yesterday, Webb Simpson had 17 putts, which is just incredible. Just incredible. He has an eagle on two, a birdie on five, a birdie on seven, a birdie on nine, a 31 for his front nine, a birdie on 11, birdie on 12, birdie on 13, birdie on 14, birdie on 15, birdie on 16. And then, well, hole 17 comes up and just bites you. And he has a double. Hole 17 is just a brutal, brutal par three out there. But he still finishes with a record 63. Outstanding. Outstanding from him in the Players Championship. Elsewhere, some other scores. Let's look at chasing him in second place. We have 10 under between Patrick Cantlay and Danny Lee and Charles Schwartzel. You got to be really happy with that CVR. And then you look all the way down. There's a lot of guys here that didn't make the cut. I'll come to you with that, Carl, here in a second, because there's some big names here who will not be playing this weekend. But one of the biggest names that will be playing this weekend is Mr. Tiger Woods, who finishes with one under. I believe he finished one under just above the cut line. So this is 2 weeks in a row we're having this conversation here on a Saturday where Tiger Woods finishes just above the cut line, which is good for golf, good for the cameras, good for the ratings. But he's still flirting with the cut, it seems like, week in, week out.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think having Tiger there on the weekend is massive. As you said, the viewership just increases. I think Tiger, you know, he's slowly but surely getting back to it. A lot of people forget the major surgery that he did have. But I think also, not taking anything away about from other players, Jason Day, once again, of course, he's just won in Wells Fargo. He's sitting at 8 under par. He's looking pretty good. And then the world number one, Dustin Johnson, tied 11th at 7 under. Also having a good tournament, Ross. But as you say, TPC Sawgrass, people do not understand how difficult that course is. Greens, very, very difficult to putt on. Ultimately, one of the toughest closing stretches in world golf, 16, 17, and 18. And then, of course, you still got the wind that's a factor too. Big names not there for the weekend. Of course, Rory McIlroy, he's really been struggling with form. His iron play, putting just quite hasn't been there. Ricky Fowler, a former champion, of course, he won the tournament in 2015. He's not there as well. And then, of course, lefty, Phil Mickelson. So three big blows a weekend, and I think that just shows how tough the course has been.
Yeah, well, we can tell you right now, Tiger has played through one hole of golf, and he's birdied it. So he's under round. I am on Tiger Tracker, which is one of my favorite things on Twitter. Who's ever the person behind GC Tiger Tracker? They do some amazing stuff. He went to the left off in the second tee, but the lie looks good. So for those Tiger Woods fans who thinks he might be trying to creep up, chase that 15 under lead, he's one stroke in and doing it.
Yeah, I think a lot can change in this golf tournament. We've just seen what happens when you get to 17. I mean, Tony Finau yesterday, I think, was 5 under when he got to 17. He left there with 1 under. So it just shows you how quickly things can change on that hole.
Let's hear from the record breaker, American Webb Simpson, who scored a course record equaling 63 to establish a halfway lead. Let's hear from Webb Simpson.
An amazing day, an amazing round of golf, equaling the course record 63. Webb, that was fun for us to watch. Give us a sense of the emotional roller coaster of producing, I'm sure, some of the best golf of the season, if not career, and then the difficulties of 17 and everything that comes with that.
Yeah, I got off to a great start with an eagle on two, and it was a day where my shots were going where I was looking, and if I got in trouble, I hit a great recovery shot, and on the greens, you know, everything looked good to me. I felt like I was going to make putts that maybe I don't normally feel like I'm going to make. And then 17 was a bummer, but, you know, it's a tough hole. I blocked it a little bit, was in between clubs. And
can I show you? Do you mind?
No.
Just at what point, and, you know, how much was the course record and the way you were playing, everything, the emotional playing into your head at this point?
So, I mean, a little bit, but I just tried to focus on kind of the numbers. And, you know, I backed off a couple times because the wind was supposed to be a little help. We kept feeling it in our face. And so I already was pushing it a little bit with that club. Probably should have hit one more club. But all in all, other than that, you know, great confidence builder for me.
Absolutely. Let's have a look at some of your highlights. I mean, you talk about days when things are going well, and when it's your day, it's your day. Classic example here.
Yeah, this 8-iron, we were surprised, went over the green, and this putt was hit a little hard. That's why I was laughing, because it went right in the middle. But yeah, at that point, I knew it was special.
It was special and a wonderful putting performance. Well, when you're in this position now and you have a big lead and you're playing as well as you are, how do you manage that lead now with 36 to go?
Well, I mean, the challenge is to treat tomorrow just like I did today, one shot at a time, and try to attack when it's the right opportunity. And other than that, you still have to play defensive around here, whether you're five back or five ahead. And so I won't change anything for tomorrow.
We know your caliber as a player, major champion, haven't won for a few years, but how much would you lean on that experience produced in your career on a major championship test and course this weekend?
Quite a bit. I've been in final groups before, and so it's nice to know what to expect there. But, you know, it's only halfway there, so I still got a job to do tomorrow. And, I think any good past experience you always lean on, but I got to keep my mind forward for the last 36 holes.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Welcome back to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Lots to look forward to in the world of sport. Let's bring you some live updates if we can, because we've got rugby underway at the moment. CBR, you're in charge of that.
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Tom, the Stormers have kicked off against the Chiefs down in Cape Town, and the Stormers have taken a 3-0 lead through fly-off Damian Willemse. He's kicked that penalty for them. In the top 14, we've got one live game. It's Grenoble taking on Anya. And what I can tell you is Grenoble are leading their 14 points to 10, 34 minutes played.
What's happening in the cricket? Kings 11 Punjab taking on Kolkata Knight Riders at the moment. Kolkata with that massive 245 for 6 from their 20. Kings 11 Punjab giving it a go. 94 for the loss of 4 wickets from 9.1 overs at the moment. Aaron Finch and Patel at the crease for the Kings 11. Rahul got them off to a good start. 66 from 29 balls. And Chris Gayle also with 21 from 17 balls. But they are 94 for 2, chasing down 2-4-6. For victory. Let's go to the United States. Ross Chris.
Well, just real quick, Tom, just because one of these names is just popping out to me right now. The League One playoff, Scunthorpe United. Yep. Is tied right now 2-2 with Rotherham United in the 95th minute. So if you're a Scunthorpe fan at home right now, I bet you're biting your fingernails. But yeah, let's head on over to my neck of the woods right now. It is the NFL offseason. Things are in full swing right now. A lot of players are coming in from the college ranks. We had the NFL draft, and we recapped that last week. A lot of players also, this is the time of year where you see a lot of guys retire. Last week, I won the Grill Panelist hearts over with a great, great clip of Jason Witten announcing his retirement. You could feel the passion in his voice. This past week, the Dallas Cowboys had a little luncheon for Mr. Witten, and his head coach described what it was like getting to coach Jason Witten.
In 2015, in training camp, we asked some of our veteran players, our best players, our leaders, to make presentations to the team at our night meetings. And so Witt went first, and we talked about it. He said, hey, I want to talk about Y option. This is his play, signature play. He's got over 1,100 catches. Probably half of them are on Y option. For those of you guys who are here, who are in the room, you remember what I'm talking about. It was simply the greatest presentation I've ever seen in football. He talked about his stance, where his weight is, where his hand is, how he releases versus defender, inside or outside, based on his alignment. He talked about the number of steps he takes, if the guy's inside leverage or outside leverage, how he runs the routes. He talked about his eyes, his shoulders, his hips, his feet, the angle he's taking coming out, what he's doing with the ball after he catches it. It was just like nothing I'd ever seen. He finishes the presentation with a clip. It was a clip of one play from the previous season. Romo. Over the middle, he's got Witten. Witten down inside the 25. We played Detroit in the playoff game at our stadium, and the situation was 4th and 6 with just over 6 minutes to go in the game. We were down by 3. We're on the plus 42-yard line. This is the play of the game. We called Y option. Detroit plays two-man. Two-man means they're going to rush four, have two deep safeties, and all the cover guys can play underneath their man because they got help. If you look back on it, Y option is probably not a great call versus two man. If you run Y option 100 times versus this look, 95 times, the option is a breakout. So Witten, who knows this play better than anybody on the planet, gets up to the top of the route. He feels the defender sink underneath him and play to the outside. He puts his right foot in the ground, gives a little head nod, circles back inside. Romo moves, delivers a strike between the 8 and the 2. Witt turns up the field, 21-yard gain. 6 plays later, Romo to Terrence Williams for a touchdown. The game win. So Witt takes the next couple minutes talking about what he saw and what he felt. It was great. But then he stops, and he says, I'll tell you why this play really worked. And he said, I want you to look at Dez Bryant here. He's our ex-receiver. They play two-man for one reason. Dez Bryant. You need a guy underneath, they need a guy on top. Dez Bryant's one of the best receivers in the National Football League. He deserves that attention. Then he talked about the offensive line, Tyron Smith and his set, and how he used his hands and where his eyes were, and how he punched and scratched and clawed and fought. He talked about Ron Lear, our left guard, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, working inside, working together, passing things off, scratching, clawing, fighting until the end of the down. Talked about Jeremy Parnell, our right tackle, his set, and how he was battling to somehow keep the rusher away from Romo. He talked about Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams taking outside releases, turning the defender's eyes away from him and running the safety off so he'd be isolated. He talked about DeMarco Murray, his protection assignment, running a swing, get that linebacker out of there so I can break inside. And he talked about Romo, the greatness of Romo, his toughness, mental toughness, physical toughness, his instincts, his awareness to kind of hang in there with him. It all came alive on 4th and 6. Romo slid, threw it between the 8 and the 2, and he went. So it struck me that this play, his signature play, where he made it at the critical moment, he didn't make it about him. He did what he always does. He makes it about everybody else. He made it about the team.
Jason Witten there, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, choking up a bit when he talks about his future Hall of Famer tight end. Jason Witten moving on to better things. He will be joining the Monday night broadcasting booth. He will actually be joining the man you heard throw him the ball, Mr. Tony Romo. So they're going to be back in action for the biggest part of American football. Elsewhere across the National Football League, the Lions have a new head coach. It's the former defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, Matt Patricia. However, the Detroit Lions came under some big heat this week because they may have looked past Matt Patricia's past arrest allegations from 1997.
22 years ago, I was falsely accused of something very serious allegations. There were claims made about me that never happened. While I'm thankful on one level that the process worked and the case was dismissed, at the same time, I was never given the opportunity to defend myself or to allow to push back with the truth to clear my name. This was something that was very traumatic to me when I was 21 years old. And once it was finally addressed, I tried to put it behind me. For those of you that are just getting to know me, and for those that have known me for a long time, you should know that I was raised the right way by two amazing parents who taught me to know the difference between right and wrong, to stand up for what's right, and to stand up for those who've been wronged. I have two older sisters that taught me respect and love. I've always tried to protect them and keep them from harm. I'm a husband and a father to a wonderful and amazing family. I try to share those same values with them. I am so thankful to my wife and my family for being supportive of me.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Yeah, game on indeed. What's happening in the Super Rugby? Carl van Rosenfeld is watching that one for us. Tell us the latest.
Yeah, Tommy, what I can tell you is one live game, of course. It's the Stormers taking on the Chiefs. That is live from Cape Town, and it's been a very close affair there. The Chiefs currently leading the Stormers 5-3, 29 minutes played. Of course, our next kickoff will be at 7:15, where the Bulls take on the Sharks.
What's going on in Spain? We've got qualifying for tomorrow's Grand Prix at the moment. 6 minutes remaining, and the driver's in danger of being eliminated from this first qualifying section. Are Van Doorn, Ocon, Perez, Gasly and Leclerc. There's also been a big crash as well with that man Stroll going off the circuit, so I'm not sure if we're going to get him back on or not, but we'll keep an eye on that one for you. Let's get back to Ross Chris, all the latest from the States.
Yeah, let's head into sports that are actually in process. It's still going on right now. Well, we are into the NBA Conference Finals. We have the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals. And for those of you listening at home, that means there's four teams left. In the East, we have LeBron James-led Cleveland Cavaliers going against the number one seed, the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, led by Al Horford, the starting center. He has 12.9 points a game, 7.4 rebounds a game, and 4.7 assists a game. But really, this Brad Stevens coach team should not be where they're at right now. They lost their star point guard, Kyrie Irving, right before the start of the playoffs. He was the guy that basically carried them, if you remember, when they went out and they got Gordon Hayward at the beginning of the year, and they lost him in the first game. So they lost two of their max contract players, but still, this Boston Celtics team continues to play well. So they have the biggest test of all. To be the best, you have to beat the best. And in the East, it has been LeBron James and those Cleveland Cavaliers. He has been playing simply phenomenal, just out of his shoes. The first game of the Eastern Conference Series starts tonight at 11:30. That will be at TD Garden in Boston. I know you're out there last week, Carl. You can get a ticket for this one for a nice low price of $140 if you want to sit up in the nosebleed seats. Elsewhere on the western side of things, it is the Golden State Warriors taking on the Houston Rockets, the number one seed. Houston Rockets taking on the Golden State Warriors, which are led well. They're led by a four-headed attack, if you will. But I'll mention one player's stat line. Kevin Durant, the starting forward, 26.4 points a game, 6.8 rebounds a game, and 5 assists a game, going against Mr. Fear the Beard himself, MVP of the National Basketball Association, Mr. James Harden, who averaged over 30 points a game. This will be played at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. Stephen Curry is back. The star point guard for the Golden State Warriors is excited to go against his idol, the star point guard for the Houston Rockets, Mr. Chris Paul.
He was a great mentor when it came to understanding how a guy on his level prepared over the summer for an NBA season, how disciplined he was, his kind of work ethic, and I got to see that firsthand after summer league through the beginning of the season, and obviously got a Carolina connection, but he kind of just, I guess, demonstrated firsthand what it takes to be great in this league, and it was a nice little eye-opener for me that summer, work out with him, compete against him, and take that confidence I had into my rookie year and get off on a good foot. Yeah, 09.
Well, this will be an exciting series to watch. If you want to start watching that one, tip-off for that will be 5 a.m. local time Monday morning. So stay tuned for that one. Now, gentlemen, if I were to tell you on Monday you win NBA Coach of the Year, voted on by 30 of your fellow NBA head coaches by a landslide victory, and on Tuesday you're out of a job, would you believe me?
That was an absolute bizarre story, Ross Chris. Absolutely. I thought the English Premier League was a hard place to work. I tell you what, I think the NBA has just overtaken them.
Well, if you can't get by LeBron James's team, apparently that's not enough, because Toronto Raptors' Masai Ujiri, the general manager, decided to move on from NBA Head Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey.
In some ways, I think the time has come. You know, like sometimes, you know, like these things come to an end. Relationships come to an end, and we'll figure out a way to move on, new voice, just knew everything in terms of that position, and it's really, really difficult to make this, especially in a short time from when the season ended to now. Nothing in particular that Coach Casey did wrong, but I think it was time for this to happen. But you know, I've used the last 3 days to really evaluate. Spent countless hours and worked with our team. This is not something we take lightly, but also in consideration with Coach Casey and maybe looking at other jobs. You know, give him that chance. Be fair that way. You know, that we're not taking that chance away instead of dragging things on. Yeah, I'd never speak to Casey over the phone with something like this. You know, like met with him today. We've met every day. Had lunch together yesterday. What an unbelievable human being. You know, like it made it. It's the hardest thing I've done in my life. I'll say it. And Bobby Webster and I went to speak to him, and I've never met anybody so that classy in my life. You know, like I don't know that I'll work. I can honestly say that I don't know that I'll work with a better person. He's just very graceful. You know, he thanked us. He appreciated his time here. And just grateful. Just Casey.
If you're a Toronto Raptors fan, and they have a big, big fan base because they're the only team in Canada, so they basically have the whole entire nation following them, you have to be scratching your head right now. Six years with this team gets them to the number one overall seed, gets voted the coach of the year, then gets fired. And in his press conference, you heard the GM there. He said, well, it's just maybe time to part ways, and we want him getting a chance to get another job. It doesn't quite seem right, but if they can't figure that out in Toronto next year, you can see the GM on his way out as well. Gentlemen, I want to switch sports disciplines one more time because we have another playoff going on in the United States of America and Canada. It is Lord Stanley Cup's playoffs, because in the conference finals as well, which means there's four teams left, and it's the Tampa Bay Lightning going against the Washington Capitals. Washington Capitals making it to the conference finals for the first time in 20 years. They won the very first game 4-2 over Tampa Bay. Alexander Ovechkin, well, the sniper from Russia, he did it again, and he did it quite well, having a very good goal in this game. And then on the western side of things, it's the Winnipeg Jets, who came in second in the Central Division, going against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Now, guys, you remember at the very beginning of the year, I told you Las Vegas, they got their very first professional sports team. And wouldn't you know it, they're one of the last four remaining in the hockey. Great news for teams out of Vegas. The first game for that will be Saturday, May 12th. So tune in for that. And if you want to listen in on this one, you can follow online at NHL.com. That's what I do when I get up early and listen to this. Now, gentlemen, I try to preach you the gospel of everything American sports. Now, we understand how referees are treated in football. We understand how umpires are treated in cricket. And one of the great things about rugby is the respect of the referee. I want you guys to listen in on how ice hockey referees are treated by ice hockey head coaches. This is the head coach of the Nashville Predators, Peter Laviolette, talking to the linesman. This would be the coach that's closest to him on the ice. And listen to this exchange.
He never hit him. He let that Scheifele dive again.
Are you finished?
Oh, I'm not finished. I just asked you if you're finished, yelling. I just said no.
Let me have it a little more then.
Tell your partner to wake up.
You tell him. You tell him. Peter's yelling it. He goes, go tell your partner to wake up.
Go tell your partner to wake up. Now, let me tell you, that was a 27-second clip that I shortened from about a four-minute clip. And there's about 3.5 minutes that we can't play of that nice conversation between the ice hockey official and the gentleman on the sidelines. But, gentlemen, we're full swing in American sports right now. If you love the playoffs, this is a great time of year for you. If you love basketball, if you love hockey, this is great. Baseball is also in full swing as well. The regular season is in full swing. So we'll just get you some of the scores here. Chicago White Sox defeat the crosstown rival. The Chicago Cubs beat the crosstown rival Chicago White Sox 11-2. The Rays fell to the Orioles 9-4. The Yankees lost to the Athletics. There's an upset right there. The Athletics win 10-5. Graveman picks up the win. He goes to 1-5 on the season. The Mets lose to the Phillies. The Mets beat the Phillies 3-1. Realmuz picks up the win on this one. He goes to 2-2 on the season. The Pirates beat the Giants 11-2. This was McCutcheon's first game back into Pittsburgh. The fans welcomed him, and he tipped his helmet before his first at-bat. The Red Sox lost to the Blue Jays north of the border in Toronto 5-3 in 12 innings. Johnson picks up the loss. He goes to 1-2 on the season. The Braves lost to the Marlins 6-3 down in South Beach. The Marlins move to 14-24 on the season. The Royals beat the Indians 10-9. Lots of offense in this one. Keller picks up the win. He goes to 1-1 on the season. The Rangers beat the Astros 1-0. Hamels picks up the win on this one. He goes to 2-4 on the season. The Brewers beat the Rockies 11-10. Jeffries picks up the win. The Nationals beat the Diamondbacks 3-1. The Twins beat the Angels 5-4 with McGill picking up the win on the season. The Reds defeated the Dodgers 6-2. Harvey made his Reds debut coming over from the Mets. This is the Dark Knight. He got out of the Mets organization. He pitched very, very good for three innings, shutouts for three innings. And the Cardinals beat the Padres 9-4. Weaver picks up the win on the season. He goes to 3-2 with a 4.91 ERA. And then the late game of the night was postponed due to weather, something that never really happens out here in Dubai. But the Mariners and Tigers, they're going to pick a date later in the year to do this one again. And there you have it. That's basically everything happening in the US of A right now, gentlemen.
Bless you. Thanks very much indeed. Ross, Chris, with us here live at Barasti. We're up here on the rooftop garden for this, The Grill. There has been a halt to qualifying called over in Spain. There is some debris on the circuit at the moment, so they're just clearing that one. What have we got coming up down here? Well, you've got the bottom six in the Scottish Premiership. They go to they are taking each other on in the 6 o'clock kickoffs over in Scotland. Dundee taking on Partick Thistle, Motherwell at home to Hamilton, St Johnstone at home to Ross County. They're off and running over in German Bundesliga, final day of the German Bundesliga, and there have been early goals over there as well. Mainz taken an early lead against Werder Bremen, as have Leverkusen, Bayern Leverkusen against Hanover. It's one apiece in both of those one. Stuttgart have spoilt the party at Bayern Munich. They've taken an early goal over at Bayern. They lead by 1-0. Hamburg lead Mönchengladbach by 1-0. Hertha Berlin are trailing Royal Leipzig by 2-1. Just 30 minutes played there, 3 goals already in that one. The only other goal to tell you about is Wolfsburg. They lead Köln by 1-0. So final day of the German Bundesliga, finest day of Spanish La Liga gets underway at 6:15 this evening. And, of course, final day of the Premier League tomorrow as well, with three Liverpool legends coming down here to Barasti. If you'd like to be part of that, get yourself onto the LFC website and make sure you register in advance. We'll take a short break, back with more after that.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Last chance for you to get into the draw to win this exclusive brand new Liverpool home shirt for the 2018-2019 season. It's been signed by the entire first team squad. It's accompanied by a certificate of authenticity. Head on down to Barasti tomorrow afternoon to join legends Stephen Gerrard, Steve McManaman, Gary McAllister to watch Liverpool's final game of the season against Brighton. On ground, there's going to be an opportunity for two lucky fans to win a trip to Anfield. Come on down, take pics and tag hashtag LFC World on Instagram. Registration for LFC World is free, but you do need to register in advance. If you haven't done that, don't think you can just rock up tomorrow and rub shoulders with the likes of Gerrard, McManaman and McAllister. You need to register in advance. Just go to the website, which is liverpoolfc.com, and search the tabs for LFC World Dubai, where you can register on there. If, though, you'd like to get your hand on this jersey signed by Liverpool, we're going to be drawing the winner on Monday Night Football. So stay tuned to Dubai Eye 103.8. And, of course, tomorrow to get all the latest from the Sports Tonight team between 7 and 9. So make sure you tune in there, giving you another opportunity to win that one. In order to win it today, all you have to do is to text us the answer to this question. What's the official name of the official tune that is sung at each and every Anfield home game? So what is Liverpool's official or unofficial theme tune? And if you know the name of that, do send it through to 4001 along with your name. You could be a winner. Right, what's happening in the world of sports? CVR, tell me the latest.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, starting with rugby league in the UK, it's the Challenge Cup. It's the Catalan Dragons taking on Whitehaven. And what I can tell you is the Dragons are leading Whitehaven 12 points to 6. St Helens taking Castleford Tigers. St Helens are leading 4-0 there. Moving on to Super Rugby, the Stormers taking on the Chiefs. It's halftime in Cape Town. The Chiefs leading that encounter 5-3. And then, of course, in the top 14, Grenoble taking on Anya. They are leading 28-10. The big one, of course, is the European Rugby Cup final tonight. That comes to you from Balboa in Spain. And kickoff is at 7:45 UAE time. It's Leinster taking on Racing Metro 92.
Let's get some thoughts on that one now. Stuart Barnes is a seasoned former professional and, of course, journalist, and talks a good game as well at the moment. Let's get his thoughts on who's going to start this one as favourite, Racing or Leinster?
...a team than Munster. But if you do find yourself struggling for set-piece ball, suddenly the pace of the game and the ability to control changes. And what Sexton and his boys do is control tempo. Everything is about tempo. They are not a bold team. They're actually quite conservative. They play one-out rugby. Their attention is great. If you look at the stats, they don't offload very much, but they come at you so dynamically that in the end, when Racing or Scarlets have this veil of defenders across the pitch, you get sucked in because you can't take James Ryan and company just coming again and again and again. And when they do that, that's when Johnny Sexton comes into his own. Sexton is waiting there. He's got his bag of tricks there and he always pulls out the right one, whether it's the diagonal floaty cross kick or it's the cutout pass. Sexton just lets his team batter them, and then he picks his moment when to strike, and that is what he's so good at. Not always, when things don't go the way of what's in front of him, then he's not always perfect, but when Leinster control tempo and when they control the ball, Sexton controls the game as well as any person on this planet.
Well, you probably used to say that about Dan Carter. I'm talking about bringing out your bag of tricks in big games. Are you saying his reputation might get him a starting spot in this team? Because at the moment, he's not the best fly half at Racing 92, is he?
No, he wasn't the best fly half in the All Blacks in 2015 until they decided they better stick with him for the knockout stages. And then he was the best player in the world. There's a slight difference in the Sexton, I think, plays as part of the cog, and he does it brilliantly. Dan Carter, in a team that might have to live on scraps, where Carter is different, he can just see things which no other player can do, and he'll run the game himself. Obviously, he's not as quick as Beauden Barrett, but what the two New Zealanders have is that capacity to just say, I'm just going to pull this out of the bag now. Dan Carter will do that, and with Carter, when you watch him play, you see him, he'll put a cross-field kick, he'll put a high ball, he'll have a dart just to ask questions of you.
Okay, your colleague, Stephen Jones, never shy of putting the knife into the All Black over the years, but he's had a go at Dan Carter on the weekend. Whisper it, but Carter's not been a runaway success for Racing, apart from winning a top 14 title with him. But anyway, decent yes, willing yes, but not dazzling at all. Well, he came on in the semi-final against Claremont and arguably changed the game, didn't he?
Well, I think Steve and I have a disagreement about that semi-final. He was fantastic in that game. Yeah. And it's my point about Dan Carter. There is no rule book when Carter plays. When Sexton plays, there's a way you play. When Dan Carter's there, it's different. Little dummy, little step, the perfect pass. So perfect, Rupert, you think it's forward. I'm certain it's absolutely flat. That's what Carter can do. He did it in South Africa and Australia in the World Cup. He could do it to anyone. You don't want to pass flatter than that. That is perfect. If you're a left wing, you just say, thank you very much. Carter can do that in a way that Sexton can't, Beauden Barrett can, and that's the difference between these players. And I just think the temptation will be there for Racing to say, go and do it, Daniel. Having said that, you know, the role he played in those last 20 against Claremont was decisive. And Pat Lammy has been playing pretty well himself at 10.
Bayern Munich have equalised against Stuttgart in the final day of the Bundesliga. We're getting ready for Leinster against Racing. That is the big one. It's the Champions Cup final a little later on this evening. Dan Carter's going to play a role, isn't he, for sure?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure they started with the Pat Lambie, and I think Stuart Barnes kind of summed it up there, Tom. They will see how the game's going. If they need something special this afternoon, I'm sure Dan Carter will come up. So I predict we'll most probably see him at least for about 25 minutes, and as I say, let's hope he finishes his career on a high at Racing 92, because of course next year he will be in Japan.
3 minutes remaining down at qualification over in Spain for the Grand Prix tomorrow. At the moment it's Lewis Hamilton who is on top of the standings, but a lot can change in the remaining 3 minutes. So we're going to keep an eye on that one for you. Congratulations to all those that sent in You'll Never Walk Alone, the official song for Liverpool Football Club. All those that sent in their right answers will go into the draw, which will be made on Monday evening. So if you texted in You'll Never Walk Alone, you texted in your name along with that one, you will be going into the draw along with all the other winners over the last couple of days, which will be made on Monday Night Football right here on Dubai I-103.8. So make sure you tune in for that one. Ross Christ, it's always been a pleasure. Always is a pleasure. Thanks so much indeed for your time.
Always a big, great time here on the show. Great time down here at Barassi. Catch me Monday night for Pub Quiz down at Perry and Blackwater's. And the boys will be there for Monday Night Football. So you get the boys downstairs, me upstairs. Last week it was standing room only. Amazing prizes. So if you think you got what it takes, I'll see you in Madnet Jamira Monday night, 8 o'clock. You can get in touch with me on Instagram at Ross Talks.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Thanks so much indeed to you, Mr. Carl.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom. Have a great weekend. Of course, don't forget the European Rugby Cup final this evening at 7:45.
Thank you very much indeed to all of you for tuning in. 2 minutes to go in qualifying for the Spanish Grand Prix. As I mentioned, it is currently Lewis Hamilton who leads the standings. We will have details on that one for you tomorrow here on Dubai I-103.8, so make sure you tune in to tomorrow. I'm on from 10 tomorrow morning, so we'll have all the details, because one of these boys from the sports team will be joining us with all the latest. Thanks so much indeed for your patronage today. We're back next week between the hours of 3 and 6, so make sure you do join us then. Enjoy your sport. Bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.